Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Mornings on the Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Zero Res, a smart, lasting, clean. Can the Falcons do something at number eight that is smart and lasting? That is a question, gentlemen.
Rob, who's the greatest Falcons draft pick in history?
Greatest Falcons draft.
Oh, is it Matt Ryan?
Yeah, I was going to say number two. Yes, absolutely.
What about?
There's been some good ones, though. You could go back to Tommy Novus. That was a good one.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot that weren't so good. I go back to Andre Bruce, Marcus Cotton, good Lord. Or
what
Deion.
About...
Deion's not bad either, yeah, of course, but he just didn't stay here that long.
Though. Yeah, I know the four-year career, that was just, but you know, if you tell me, I mean, they've had some picks that didn't pan out here either. You know, Brett Favre had that 1 year, and he couldn't.
Buckhead Brett.
Couldn't stay out of the bars, so they shipped him off, and the rest
He's
is
He's too hungover for a team photo, missed a team photo.
Yeah.
Like his rookie year, second year.
That's the thing that always that's the revisionist history that always gets me the most with Falcons fans is, yeah, well, I mean, see, we're such a crappy organization. We traded Brett Favre, and it was
that's
like,
so dumb.
We traded Brett Favre because we cared enough to say, you know what, the best place for you is not Atlanta.
Yeah, Julio Jones is a pretty good pick.
Bad.
You know, as far as the draft capital they gave up for Julio,
yeah.
I think I was like the only guy inside that locker room that was excited because I played with him in college.
Right.
And I'm like, this is going to change everything. This guy is so good.
You saw it up close.
And we were in the middle of the lockout. And so I was working out with teammates. They're like, man, what's the deal? We just got rid of like our whole thing to go get this guy. I'm like, he's worth it, man. He's worth it. I'm
Trust
just
me,
telling you, the
it.
Dude is good.
That's the thing about the Julio pick is it's never just looked at and saying, look how good he was here. It's like, yeah, but you gave up all this and you didn't get this. And you know, I'm a big I like to get a really good relationship with Dan Quinn. I always tell people, you know, and I had a good relationship with Thomas as well. And I said, well, in Thomas's defense, he's not the one that decided not to run the football. Like, he gave you a team that was capable of winning based on what you wanted to do. And when you got to the very end, you didn't close.
The bottom line is if you're going to trade that draft capital and you say I'm going to get a Hall of Famer out of it, you do it. Right? That's not you can't have you talk about revisionist history of, "Oh, well, you know, this you're going to get a Hall of Fame wide receiver out of it. You go trade those picks. It doesn't matter because that's what you're looking for in any draft is a Hall of Fame player, and that's what you got out of Julio Jones.
And of all the defensive players taking that draft that year, I think only
– I can't even remember.
J.J. Watt was one of them.
That was the 2011 draft?
Yeah, I want to say he might – I'm going to double check because I don't want to put myself out there and say something I'm not remembering. But I want to say he's the only like Hall of Famer that they would have really passed up that I know right off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Because you go look at the draft. That draft, so the Falcons obviously moved up to six, but Alden Smith was a pass rusher who worked himself out of the league on his own. But they gave up on Watt. I mean, Robert Quinn was in that draft. Ryan Kerrigan, I don't think, you know, he's not a Hall of Famer. So, Cam Jordan was in the draft, so but Cam Jordan went before you would have picked. So
what number was Tyron Smith in that draft?
Tyron Smith was he was nine. He was right
He's
after
a freaking creative player at left tackle, man. Well, that's how you design left tackles.
You want to know the guy that went before and after Tyron Smith?
Probably not. Is he gonna make me sick?
So here's how the draft played out. Let's just go from four. Well, actually, we'll go from three. We can just go on top. Cam Miller, Von Miller, Marcell Dareus, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, Julio, Alden Smith, Jake Locker, Tyron Smith, Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, yeah.
J.J. Watt,
Oof.
Christian Ponder,
Oof.
Nick Fairley, then Robert Quinn, and Mike Pouncey.
Wow.
So,
Mike Pouncey's in that draft.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Cam Jordan did go 24. He'll be a Hall of Famer when it's
Those
all
three
said
quarterbacks
and done.
Went top 10. That yeah. shows you the exact science of evaluating quarterbacks.
Well, technically, Ponder was 12. But, yeah.
That's crazy, man.
So
that's wild.
You go back and look at the quarterbacks in that draft, Cam Newton in the first round, it's Cam Newton. And, you know, Andy Dalton went 35th overall that year. He actually was one pick before Colin Kaepernick. It's kind of crazy when you go back and look at these drafts.
No, TCU was good.
What's really crazy when you go way, way back, the Falcons could have had like maybe four or five members of the Steel Curtain defense on their roster, who were a lot of guys that were chosen like right after the Falcons. So Jack, just a lot of guys. So we can do that all day long and drive yourself nuts about what might have been.
That's why I don't like it when people say that. Hey, they could have had so-and-so. Yeah, they could have had Randy Moss. Instead, they got Keith Brookham, but Keith Brookham had a good career here.
And to your point, I've brought this up a dozen times. It always is about where you land as a player. This whole thing sometimes where people come up and they'll say, well, we've missed on this many players. We've missed on this many linebackers in a row. I'm like, do you ever think that maybe that's just not a good place for linebackers to go? Like, what's the common denominator here? Maybe it's this defense in this city in this situation with this coach. Maybe it's not the middle linebackers.
Yeah, some of those guys, had they been drafted somewhere else, we wouldn't even be talking about their names.
I tell Bo this all the time.
Into obscurity.
Think about last year's draft and how crazy it is. When the NFLPA report card came out, Rob, the Falcons strength staff and weight room had an F-.
F-.
An F minus. Like, wow. You think, at this point, you're looking at it going, well, if they don't change that out, I don't want to go to Atlanta. Right. Like, my goodness.
Well, and that's the thing that I go back and look at is some of the players, even in the years that you were around there in the trenches that we drafted that should have been better, that were still got pushed around. And it. Was it.
That's a long road. We can have that conversation for. What hours was upon hours.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, so
the
F minus.
Who
was their strength and conditioning coach? Was he some obese chain smoker?
We did a lot of Turkish get ups, a lot of kettlebell swings.
Well,
you know what I mean?
there was a guy that, you know, I mean, there was a guy here during a certain person's tenure early in, you know, that let's just say the workouts were fishy.
What does that mean? What does that mean they're fishy?
Let's change the topic before you get me in trouble.
Well, let's change to this. Steve Weiss sat down with Falcons coach Raheem Morris, and one of the questions asked was, why Kirk Cousins? Why now?
When I got the job, you identified what you wanted to improve and some of the areas you wanted to get better at. We got a lot of help in that area going to look for the person that was best that would fit us. And we targeted Kurt because of some of the current relationships, some of the relationships that I had with Kurt before. Watching him come into the league as a rookie and being really impressed with him in Washington. And then to watch him go through the league and just have the success that he's had. I couldn't be more excited to get a young man like Kurt. He's still a young man. He's still got great energy. I can feel the professionalism and just grow over the years. And really critical role for a piece for us to get this offseason, and we wanted to get it done the worst way.
Yeah, but he's trash. He only has one career playoff win.
I can't tell y'all how much I love the word professionalism when it comes to football. That's what that is the perfect word for him. It seems like right now is the
word
professionalism.
It's an all-encompassing word for someone's demeanor and approach. Right?
It really is, man. Professionalism. It's just it's communication. It's promptness. It's just all the above that you need in a quarterback. And I think it was Arthur Blank that mentioned it just a couple weeks ago. He's like, he's probably not a guy on the roster he hasn't already talked to and communicated with. And that makes me know that he understands the nature of that
position. He's a polished professional.
Yeah. It's so funny, though, when you think about what does professionalism mean. And I think it means the same in every walk of life. Like every job that you do, it's, you know, hardworking. They're like you said, prompt. They're on time. Like they do all of the little things, so you never have to worry about
dependability.
It. That's called being a professional. And when you're getting paid what Kirk Cousins gets paid, you know that you've gotten the respect of everyone around you, and you're the peak professionalism. I mean, I know that some people want to argue certain numbers and, you know, wins and losses, which quarterbacks get credited with for unfairly at times, I guess, and fairly in other times. But to do all the little things that can get you there with the right team and the right staff, that could mean playoff wins. There's no reason he can't go out and at least equal his playoff win total this season.
I agree with you.
Which wouldn't be a lot, just be one, but still.
Yeah,
that'd be one more than we've had in the last 7 years.
Let me put it to you this way, and just kind of piggybacking off that conversation. Is one playoff win, is a division crown and a playoff win, is that a good season for the Falcons this year?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so too.
If you're saying no, then you're foolish. You're acting foolish, because for a team that hasn't even sniffed the playoffs since 2017, Rob, to go and get a win in it, and now you can build on that, whether you believe in it or not. Building is real. You build a winning culture. That's really important.
Is division win, playoff loss, is that considered somewhat successful? I think so, because you got there for the first time since 2017.
Yeah, I think you go from 3 straight 7-10s and what, 6 straight losing seasons, and you win a division. I think in what world is it not viewed successful?
Well,
it's not the ultimate success, but
you have to view it through the lens that we have Kirk Cousins for 2 years. Right, possibly 3, but the contract says 2 years, and so you have to kind of view it through that lens of that you have to be building towards, you know, you have to be building towards something. Listen, I could easily sit here and say it's Super Bowl or bust when you're paying a guy that much money, but it's just not realistic. So I think you, if you can win the division and win a playoff game this year and build towards, you know, having guys that have played in playoff games on your roster, because we don't have many of them, then I think you're building in the right direction.
And I think if it's 7-10 and you back your way into the division, I think you can view it different. I would say then it could be viewed much differently, because all you've done now is, you know, just – and it just doesn't feel like it's a real accomplishment, I guess.
Yeah, tend to agree with you, man.
All right, coming up next, the last night – this guy gets a start for the Braves. I don't understand how he got drafted. We'll get into that next on the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Don't touch that dial.
This is the Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Right about now, the Funk Soul Brother. Check it out now, the Funk Soul Brother. Right about now, the Funk.
Funk Soul Brother. Check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother.
Welcome back to the Morning Shift, you Funk Show Brothers. Sports Radio 929 again.
What?
You Funk Show Brothers.
That's right.
Little Fat Boy. Little Fat Boy Slim.
Yeah, before we get into In the Huddle, I was kind of looking at the Audarius Vines journey. Kid out of Oxnard, California, of course. Goes 4 2/3 for the Braves last night. 3 hits a run, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. How did he even get drafted? The guy throws maybe 91, but great changeup. He has one changeup that can mimic a curveball, another one kind of maybe a sideways, kind of a slider type thing. And has a high swing and miss rate on that changeup. And when it is barreled up, contact hasn't been that good. But his numbers, he was 5-3 with a 4 ERA in college, 17-15 in the minors with a 3.57 ERA. But somehow, some way, you know?
Yeah, his four-seam top average is 90 miles an hour. Yeah. I mean, he uses his cutter quite
cutter
a bit.
Cutter was good last night. Cutter was real good last night.
He actually uses that. That and his four-seam he uses the most. And to your point, you know, the changeup he uses, what, like a quarter of the time, does have a slider he works in. I mean, look, pitch to contact and the
strikeouts are fascist.
The problem with guys like Darius Vines is what we saw with Bryce Elder is when you're pitching contact and you're locating your pitches, all is well. But it's when your location is off, those guys just will tattoo you.
Yep.
I think that he is. I think he's the prototypical, Rob, to answer your question. I think he's the prototypical high floor, low ceiling kind of guy.
Right.
You know what you're going to get.
He's a middle relief guy.
He's not right. He's I'm trying to think, man. The Cubs had a long reliever when I was younger that I used to watch, and it would be like when the guy's getting busted around in like the third inning, you'd bring him in and you knew he'd get you to the seventh. You know, maybe give up one or two. And not that's not to say he's not going to be a starter. I don't know that he, you know, projects as their long-term answer in the rotation. I don't think he's ever going to be a three guy because he's not going to blow the doors off of you, right?
You just named Jesse Chavez.
Well, listen, Jesse Chavez has been that guy for 12 teams. It's not just the Cubs. I'm sure he's played for the Cubs at some point.
The Braves need to put him in their ring of honor. Six tenure
half
of the Braves,
major leagues needs to put him in the ring of honor. Rob.
Yeah, but there's a special thing going on with that player here.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a rite of passage in this era of the run that he's going to be traded, you know, like late in the season, and he'll somehow find his way back for the playoff roster if there is a playoff run. But look, yeah, look, Darius Vines is a seventh-round draft pick, like you were talking about, and he's just a guy that he's – You realize with guys like that it's not all about talent. It's kind of like who do we have on the other? I think maybe Mark Ross said it too. He goes, "All I hear, you know, I still don't understand why when we hear guys talked about, we hear arm strength as quarterback prospects. Like all these guys have enough arm strength to make all the throws. It's not about arm strength. It's about ball placement. It's about
elite processing,
football IQ. Yeah,
yep.
Football IQ is big." I mean, it really is.
Well, let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
With In the Huddle, brought to you by the Good Feet Store Premium Art Supports. Learn more at goodfeet.com on the Morning Shift.
You know, a lot of guys getting paid yesterday. Now, look at the Eagles. Good Lord. What are they spending $25 million a year on two receivers now?
Yeah, but I don't know. What's the length of AJ? I need to check AJ Brown's contract, but Devontae Smith
and AJ Brown are both making $25 million a year.
Yeah, Devontae gets the extension. I don't think his will kick in for another year or two, though. If I'm not, and I think was it 51 guaranteed?
I
believe.
And he's been a heck of a player for them. This is just such a Philly signing, is it not? Your core leadership players are going to get taken care of when you have shown the ability. When you have shown the ability to be a leader and a guy that is dependable, you will get your money. And that's exactly what – Devontae Smith's been great. He is a 2023, 2024, 2025. That is what wide receivers are now in the NFL. When he came out, you know, he's called the Slim Reaper at Alabama because he's so slender. And 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you said there's no way that guy's going to run a cross route. He's going to get his head taken off.
Yeah.
But he is so good with his route running ability that, you know, he has the – you know, the playmaking skills to get open and to go up and get balls. You're spending $50 million on your quarterback and another, you know, 20 plus on two wide receivers, but that doesn't kick in for another year. But look, man, he's a good player, deserves the money, and this is just such a Philly thing to do. I mentioned it last year when I watched Philly play. I think they had five captains on offense at one time. Like, Kelsey is a captain. The right tackle, I'm drawing a blank on his name, Lane Johnson. You know, Devontae, A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts. I'm like, dude, how do y'all have so many captains offensively? But those are the guys that you're dealing with, man. They're good players. So, good for him.
You see where T.J. Hockenson, league needs to look at low hits against offensive players.
Yeah.
Eventually, there's going to be nowhere to hit anybody ever.
Well, that and we've talked about this show, but I know I was listening to you with Randy last week, and you specifically brought up the hip drop tackle or whatever they're calling it
now.
Or
what we called it growing up, tackling.
Yes. And, you know, where guys are not allowed to unweight themselves.
Yeah, but, dude, don't start with me. I know what you're doing.
But Randy was one of those guys, yeah, well, call me when it happens to you. And I think I understand his sentiment and I understand where he's coming from, and I understand where Hockenson, I thought that the same thing when I read Hockenson's comments is like, well, that's something that a guy's been tackled that way. But at what point do you look at it and say, well, we've banned pretty much everything? It was Mike, you just said the Devontae Smith thing, you know, 15 years ago, you didn't think he'd be a guy that would come across the middle. Well, he's only coming across the middle because the NFL has made it okay for him to come across the middle. They made it safe for him to come across the middle.
He's taking advantage of it. Here's my thought on this, and I have a more unique perspective on Hockenson's views than most, right? This, to me, is a tight end thing. This is not a running back or wide receiver thing. This is a tight end thing, and here's why. They are heavier bodies than most of the other people that are carrying the ball offensively. And when you hit them low, they don't just fly up in the air like you would a 180-pound wide receiver or a 190-pound running back. They have they're heavy. Some of these guys are 260-plus pounds. When you hit them in the leg, the knee is what's going to give.
Right.
You're not going to do a cartwheel and land on your head like maybe a wide receiver would. If you hit them low and in the leg, something in the lower body is going to give because they're so heavy. There's a lot of mass to these tight ends. And so – I think it's special when you talk about a Hockenson or a Kyle Pitts or a big body guy like, you know, used to have in Gronkowski and some of the other injuries that you see, this happens because they're big dudes, not because that it's, you know, an offensive skill thing. So I understand Hockenson's words. I weigh it out of what's good for the game as opposed to what's healthy for the player. And sometimes that's where you find the gray area, right? I don't think it's good for the game to take away these low tackles. I don't think it's good for defenses. But I do think it's good
make
for
him
tight
hesitant.
Ends. It's hard for me, man, because I realize what he's saying. I just don't know that it makes the game better. We have gone so heavily on offense in terms of penalties that something else has got to give at some point.
Well, and real quick to that point, you know, it's kind of like with the Tommy John stuff in baseball. We're freaking out right now, but somebody put out a stat that the numbers are honestly no more at this point in the season than they ever have been. And in some years they're less. Every year we make a big deal, all these injuries in September. But then when you get into the year, it's about the same. Now, quarterbacks were way up last year, but it felt like, anyway.
I don't know that they were. The number of rookie quarterbacks playing last year was up. I think the injuries to starting quarterbacks were actually a little bit lower.
But see, that's the thing. We always make a big. We always freak out that it's a big number, and then when it comes around at the end of the year.
But when it happens at once to like
out.
A couple of aces of stats.
That's what I was going
to
say.
That's when people get alarmed.
The quarterback thing goes back to the term superstar. You don't want it to happen to your superstar,
right?
And that's when you got Tommy DeVito. And whoever else that was starting for the Bears last year and all that, like that's when it becomes bad for the game, and that's when the NFL is going to do something about it. So that's you know, they're in their pockets about that.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, but it's just like the injuries always seem to bear out almost evenly every year. And every year we get up in arms about it, and that's why when we overreact and we keep changing the game, when are we going to change the game to where it's a detriment to the game? We might already be there.
I think we are.
Did you guys see Gronk's first pitch at Fenway?
I did.
Throughout the first pitch, he goes into a windup and just spikes it like a football. It's the most Gronk thing ever.
Oh, I love it.
Speaking of,
and then he ate a box of light bulbs.
Speaking of NFL quarterbacks, NFL quarterbacks and first pitches. Did y'all see C.J. Stroud's first pitch last night in Houston?
No,
dude, good.
About 92?
Dude, I mean, it had some zip on it, and it was a strike. I mean, right down the middle, dude. It was like the old George Bush in Yankee Stadium. I mean, but it had more zip on it. It was impressive.
You think we could sign him like a 10-day contract in Atlanta?
I don't know that D'Amico Ryans would sign off on that, but I'd be willing to give it a go. He can't throw any slower than Darius Vines. So
that's hateful.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, Smart, Lasting, Clean. What's coming up and Mic'd Up?
Hey, we got to talk about the transfer portal before we get to Mic'd Up and what might be on the horizon. And one way to get to Mic'd Up, Rob. Top five Tuesday, top five Team USA snubs. There's one roster spot open. There's a lot of people out there that would love to be on this team. We'll talk about it on the other side. It's Mic'd Up. It's Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Started.
Go ahead.
With the Morning Shift.
Time for the show.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany Braves, a 6-1 winner last night over the Astros. Marcelo Zuna very quietly, not very quietly necessarily, 14-game hitting streak. Ronald Acuna still looking for that first homer. And 9:30 tip, Hawks, Bulls playing tomorrow night in Chicago. And, of course, the Hawks finish the season with 6 losses in a row, so you're up to date as far as that goes. What's Squid doing?
Oh, there's no telling, man. He's always running around.
He moved his office around.
He's cleaning his aquarium. we're going to have Rodney Nabulsi coming up at 8:40. Won't want to miss that. Last night at midnight, the transfer portal opened in college sports. It's going to be open for 15 days, and I can't tell. Look, I'm a Bama guy, Rob. I don't know if Bama people are excited or sad about this. Remember, you know, Nick leaves and right. The 30-day window opens for guys to leave, but you couldn't go out and really necessarily recruit other guys to come in. They were on other people's team. Because of the fact that Kalen DeBoer left Washington, there were some Washington players that came in. Now it's like kind of a free-for-all where everybody's eligible for this. There are still some stipulations, however. There's emergency meetings still going on about this. You still cannot transfer after February 1st within conference and be immediately eligible. There have been some emergency meetings about that and some other rules that might come to light. And I think it's semi-ridiculous with the free-for-all we're dealing with, but any kind of guardrails at this point, I think I'm thirsty for. But we'll kind of watch. I have heard whispers that there are one or two big transfers leaving Alabama. I don't know if that's by design or whatever, but I don't know what to think at this point. It just seems like the wild, wild west with some of these 4- and 5-star guys saying, I'm going to go see what else is out there. I'm going to go see what other money might be available for me to go places.
Well, who didn't play in the spring game? Could that be an indication? Right.
My initial thought was, Buford's own Justice Haynes only got a handful of carries, and he's obviously Vron's son. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's an ongoing thing for me where I just think I think the world of him as a player. So I get scared anytime this comes up. But, you know, there's the typical Alabama fans asking, is Jalen Milroe leaving? Is Ty Simpson leaving? All these guys. But who knows, man? Like, I'm just having a hard time. I feel like it's a free-for-all both ways. And every time a guy leaves, I'm going, okay, well, who's going to play for him?
Well,
who's
going to
replace him?
To Rob's point, I hope it's – and to your – but to both y'all's point, I hope it's not about the money. I hope it's more about the playing time. Like, it bothers me more when it's about, well, there's a little bit more money there. And it's not about the guys getting paid. It's about it being one track and not seeing the bigger picture, because it might be about more money now, but what you can learn at some places and the playing time that you're going to get might, you know, the money can overshadow things and you're losing big picture of the end road, which is the NFL money.
Right. All right, we got to get to Team USA being announced yesterday. Let's go ahead and hit this mic'd up.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
Team USA was announced yesterday for the Olympics coming up later on this summer. And let me just put it this way. The team's loaded. All right. There's no other way to put it. You got LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Bam Adebayo, and Tyrese Halliburton. I'm just going to say that there's a certain local superstar.
Yeah, you said Trae Young, didn't you? Wasn't Trae Young on that list?
No, I didn't say Trae Young. So we'll get into this top five Tuesday. The honorable mention I'm going to go with first, guys, will be Paul George. elite defender, wing kind of player.
Right.
I'm going to bring in Dialon to be able to talk a little bit more about the international game, because I'll be honest, I'm not really an expert on international basketball, but Paul George seems to be a guy that would fit in any kind of situation.
Well,
right?
Say this. Watch out for Sierra Leone.
Is that
in the Olympics?
But, Mike, to your point, with the international game, it's a lot bigger, and obviously guys are a lot more – it can be a lot more of a physical game. There is some finesse to it, just like the NBA game, but the rules are a little bit different. You can be a little bit more physical. And Paul George, with what he can do on offense and defense, he's always been a two-way guy. And with his length, too. I mean, the dude is he's big, but he's also lengthy. Like, he's got a long wingspan, so – he's just a good guy to have in any sort of situation, offensively or defensively. So I honestly would have put him in over a guy like Jalen Brunson, because PG can handle the ball too. He could be like a point forward type of guy. But Jalen Brunson, I know you'll get to him.
Slow down. He might be on the list. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and start with number five is a guy who would be much higher on this list if there were not injury concerns about him. And going into the first round of the NBA playoffs, there are injury concerns. Got a little knee issue. Has had an ACL a number of years ago. Seems like he's always got knee concerns, to be quite honest with you. Here we go.
Defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Everybody remembers the Kawhi Leonard ball that hung up in the air for seemingly 15 seconds back in the 2019 Eastern Conference semifinals. Kawhi Leonard is a guy that I think is a slam dunk for this last roster spot, because they do have one left if he's healthy and if he wants to play and if he doesn't need to rest that knee. Kawhi Leonard's that guy.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. If he's healthy and if he wants to play, I don't see why you wouldn't put a guy like the Claw on the roster.
Yeah, but I think the second part's the real one.
Yeah.
If he wants to play. I question sometimes how much he wants to play these days.
Fair.
And I'm a huge Kawhi Leonard fan. I think at one point in time was the best two-way player in the league, and it was in that range where LeBron was still up for it.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't feel like he really wants to play these days.
Right. No, I tend to agree with you. He's dinged up a lot, and I know he's got to rest those knees, and he's got to worry about his NBA future as well. But if he's healthy, I think he's that guy in that last spot. And if he wants to do it, to your point, I mean, you call him in the coach's office or get him on the phone and say, all right, man, what's the level of commitment here? And if he says it's 100%, then he's on the team. Let's move on.
Number four,
guys, I had so much trouble with where to sit this man. And I know he means a lot to the people in the city of Atlanta. He means a lot to me as well. And just became the other day the all-time leader in assists for the Hawks.
Now Trey has it with six. Trey with five. Trey dribbling, driving, floater. It's around the rim and in. Trey Young scores with 9/10 of a second left. And the Hawks have taken the lead. 107 to 105. 9/10 of a second to go. Trey just said shush to the crowd.
Just constantly snubbed. Just constantly snubbed.
All right. So let's go through these guys that are on there real quick. At guard, Curry, Booker, Holiday, Edwards, and then Haliburton.
Yeah.
What do they all do that Trey doesn't do? For the most part. Not all, but most of them.
What play off the ball?
At? Well,
play defense.
Drew Holiday's an elite defender.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards.
That's easy. I was going to say, there's
Edwards
a number of things.
Now, Dylan, you're not wrong. Most of those guys can play off the ball as well. But some of those guys are – I'm not putting him over Anthony Edwards.
I'm not putting him
over Drew Holiday if you want defensive play. You want to shut down some of these other guys. And it's not a knock on Trey.
Yeah, and even to your point about Tyrese Haliburton, he's not the best defender out there, but he is a bigger, longer guy who can be good.
Matches
on the
better that game, right?
Exactly.
Haliburton's
exactly.
The one guy, and I got to get through the end of this list before we go too deep in this conversation, but Halliburton's the one guy I'm just recently like, all right, let's move on.
Number three,
guys, and I'll go ahead and let you get to the sound, but Wheeler High School's own is what I'll say.
Brown! Oh! Embiid goes down as Brown goes up!
One of the more explosive players in basketball, whether you want to say internationally or the NBA, Jaylen Brown does not make it onto this team. I just continue to scratch my head.
I think that's the big one for me out of everybody, even Trey. Really?
I'll give you, I think, the biggest reason why Jaylen Brown isn't on this squad, because you have the Kawhi Leonards of the world out there. You have guys like the Devin Bookers of the world out there. And there are just so many guys like Jaylen Brown at the position. Now, is he more superior athletically because he's a little bit younger? Yes. But you have guys who can do what Jaylen Brown does and maybe do it just a little bit better on the offensive end and maybe just a little bit better on the defensive end. So I think that's why you're off. There's just so many guys like Jaylen Brown in the league right now.
All right, just to kind of reset real quick, Paul George was the honorable mention. Kawhi Leonard at 5, just simply because I don't know what the injury concerns kind of hold for his future. Trae Young at 4, Jaylen Brown at 3. Let's move on.
Number two,
I had trouble kind of piecing these last couple together because I think so highly of, honestly, all these players in this top 5 list. But this is a guy who's shown definite ability to play some good hoops.
Offensive rebound, back out to Brunson, his three, bang! Jaylen Brunson from downtown, that a 10-point Knicks
first round dagger last year to send the Knicks up 3-1 on the Cavs in that series, and he's just a dude that's always doing the right thing. It just feels like, man, making explosive plays.
Yeah, I think the only reason you leave a guy like Jaylen Brunson off is because, honestly, of his size. It's not because of his skill set, because Jaylen Brown has one of the his footwork. You could argue he has the best footwork in the league right now. I mean, right. His footwork and his ability to get open with his footwork is crazy. His shot-making ability is good. So I really think it's just about his size at this point. You have other guards that, again, can do what he do that are just bigger and more suited for that international game, which is a bigger game.
And he was one of the main ball handlers in that 23 World Cup team.
That's it.
So
yeah,
it's a little bit surprising.
And then let's move on real quick.
Number one
is a guy who has made it very publicly known that he wants to be a part of this team and has been a great player for Team USA in the past, and actually talked to Shams Charania and he said, look, he wants to be that dude for Team USA.
Kleba to inbound. Kleba looking in for Irving. Irving for the win!
He's a little bit crazy at times, but he's that dude on the basketball court, man. Kyrie being left off just feels a little bit strange, in my opinion.
You said it, Mike. I think this has nothing to do with his basketball ability. I think it has everything to do with the baggage that he brings.
I agree, man.
I think Kyrie has been involved in and what has been kind of accused about Kyrie, I just think Team USA doesn't want that on their squad.
They want the sideshow.
I would say he's not the only person that fits that criteria that was left off.
Yeah.
What? Who you got?
I think Kawhi's one of them.
Yeah.
I think, look, I'm not sure how well liked Trey is in the community of some of these star basketball players, because
you get the impression he isn't.
Well, it's not the only thing he's been left off of that he should have been.
He's been left off of everything, it seems in the last how many years.
So why beat around the bush? I don't know if Trey's like. It's not a personal thing, but it not with me, but maybe with them.
Yeah.
He gets at times treated kind of like Isaiah was treated.
And to your point, goes back to how many guys and what guys do really like playing with Trae Young. And this is why people kind of turn to that argument about, you know, why maybe a second superstar isn't being brought to Atlanta besides DeJounte.
There you have it. Paul George, honorable mention. Number 5, Kawhi Leonard. Number 4, Trae Young. Number 3, Jaylen Brown. Number 2, Jaylen Brunson. And number 1, Kyrie Irving. That's your Top 5 Tuesday, your Team USA snubs. And I'm sure that you'll have thoughts about that on the wake-up call coming up next.
Yep, 404-726-0929, your chance to get on board for the wake-up call, which is next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.